Welcome to the Life of a Gentleman podcast. Journey with us as we discuss the life of a gentleman and how we can gain more respect and confidence with lessons in life, etiquette, and personal style. Each week, we will bring engaging discussions, thought-provoking interviews, and tips on upgrading your personal style. We are all a work in progress. Let's take this journey together. Let's live the life of a gentleman. Welcome to another edition of the Life of a Gentleman podcast. I'm Richard Taylor, an award-winning author, apparel industry expert, and business owner. I'd like to personally thank you for listening to this podcast and taking this journey with us as we strive to make continual progress in living by the gentleman's code. Please, if you would you rate, review, and subscribe to the Life of a Gentleman podcast? It means so much to us because it helps us gain exposure so we can bring this information to even more listeners, expanding the listening audience. We'd also like to invite you to please download your free copy of The Life of a Gentleman in an ebook or audiobook format. You can do this by visiting harrisonblakeapparel.com, visiting the blog, and downloading your free copy. That's over 144 pages of information on subjects pertinent to the minds of gentlemen. At this time, I'd like to extend a warm welcome and introduce my co-host, Charles. How's it going, Charles?
Oh, Richard, I am doing great. I'm excited about today's topic.
Yeah, this is going to be a fun one. It's something that is close to our hearts because I think if the audience doesn't know, it's something we both enjoy doing, and that is
cooking.
Yes, we both enjoy cooking, and I think it's definitely something that every gentleman should know how to do, at least prepare one dish.
Yes, and if you make that one dish, you make it well. Make it your own, make it your signature, and if you can master that one dish, you can master a lot of other dishes.
Now, don't go clicking off the podcast. I know there's a lot of guys out there that they heard cooking and they're running for the delete button for this episode, but don't be so hasty because there's a lot of benefits to learning how to cook. And like we said, you don't have to become a master chef. It's not going to happen overnight. But knowing how to cook at least one good meal is going to change your life.
Yeah, I know when I was younger, I have fond memories of my mom standing in the kitchen cooking. And unlike my sister who used to shy away, I used to say, "Hey, mom, what are you doing?" And she would take me and she'd show me how to cut up the vegetables. She'd show me how to prepare the different meals. And this is something that now that my mom is gone, it's some fond memories that I keep not only inside my mind, but inside my heart. So it's a passion that I have for cooking.
That makes sense. And we appreciate the heartfelt comments that you related about your mother and the memories that you have. That actually brings me to my first tip. And that is a reminder to everybody listening. There is nothing, and I mean nothing, like home cooking. We've all had a home-cooked meal that outdoes anything that you've had at any restaurant. We have that family member or friend, or maybe it's your grandmother. They can just cook an amazing meal that you can't get anywhere else.
Yes, that is true. That home-cooked meal, it grounds you. It takes you back to home. It takes you back to when you was a child, when you have first taken it and when you first eat it. Nothing like the home cooked meal.
Lots of memory.
Lots and lots of memory. My first tip is when you start to cook, just keep it simple. Don't try to do an elaborate 8-course meal like you see.
No.
Just keep it simple. A few key ingredients can go a long way.
Yeah, and some of the easiest things that you could start cooking, in my opinion, would be fish, because you can bake that in the oven and it only takes about 15 minutes. But also chicken. It's very simple to prepare a chicken or fish dish.
Yeah, and now with so many of our listeners, they may be vegetarians, they may be vegans, a great pasta dish, it goes well. Some great vegetables, fresh vegetables that you season up, you have to have those, and those are great. So, which brings me to another tip, have plenty of spices on hand.
Yeah, that's one thing that you need to kind of load up on, if you can say that, is your spice rack or your spice cabinet.
cabinet.
Some people have gun racks. We have spice racks.
We have spice rack. That is our arsenal. The spice rack is your arsenal. You can add so much flavor, and it transports people just by a little extra spices and seasoning. Don't forget to season it also, too.
No, and when you said transport, it made me think of my next tip. And that is, when you're cooking and you're trying to learn different recipes, you have the chance to be in your home. Get comfortable. Get daring with it. Try different ethnic cuisines that maybe you don't want to go out to a restaurant and spend a lot of money on. But you can try them at home first, because, like you said, with those different spices and flavors, you're going to get some different taste than what you normally have. So try them at home first. Experiment. Have some fun.
Have some fun with cooking. And here's the thing also too. What you didn't like when you was younger, guess what? Your taste changed.
Taste changed.
You don't know if you like them when you're older. So just don't get into the habit of, oh no, I don't like this. I don't want to cook this. But experience the world and the taste. Have fun with it.
Now, I know some people still aren't convinced. They're saying, this is too hard. I'm not cooking. I've never cooked anything. I can't even scramble eggs. But I'm telling you, it's not that difficult. There's a lot of tutorials online.
Yes.
There's a lot of cooking shows. There's whole networks dedicated to cooking. And the shows are fun. They're informative. And you can learn a lot about cooking.
Yes. And when you're cooking, here's another thing. Simply taste your food. As you're cooking, just taste it, because if it tastes good to you, guess what? Chances are it's going to taste good to someone else. But if it's nasty to you, or you maybe over-season it, just throw it out and start back fresh.
Yeah, perfect. Just kind of switching gears a little bit. There's some health benefits to cooking.
Yes.
You know, it can be very unhealthy if you're eating out all the time. There's a lot of preservatives in those foods. There's a lot of chemicals.
Sodium.
Artificial sweeteners. We could go on. And you don't want to be filling up your body with those things in, because it's garbage in, garbage out. So the benefits of cooking is you're getting fresh ingredients. You know where the food comes from. You're getting probably more servings of vegetables and fruits when you're doing it yourself. And you know that the food is fresh. And then we've always heard those stories you see on Dateline, or you see on the 6 o'clock news, where there's this rogue restaurant worker that's doing some odd things to the food. And so you avoid that as well.
Yes. And going back to eating out, what also does it affect? Not only does it affect our waistline, but it affects our pocketbook.
Whoa. Yeah.
You know, on the average, by stop eating out 1 to 2 times a week, you can actually save between $100 to $300 a month on savings just by not eating out.
Now, think about that next time you're in the market for a new suit. Because we get a lot of emails and people are saying, well, I want to live this life of a gentleman. I want to make these changes. I want to look a certain way, but I don't have any money. I'm broke. Maybe if you stop eating out.
Maybe if you stop eating out and you become conscious of how much you're actually spending at these restaurants, then maybe that little extra income can help you become that gentleman you want.
Yeah, definitely it can. And just to piggyback on that, talking about cost, you probably don't realize it, but when you buy prepackaged food from the grocery store, not only are you getting the preservatives and things like that, but they actually cost more. You know, think about this. Let's take potatoes. You get potatoes in a box.
Yeah.
You know, and you whip them up real quick, whether, you know, they're mashed or they're all gratin potatoes. It costs way more. You know how cheap potatoes are if you just get them yourself?
You get a whole bag for like less than a dollar sometimes on sale. We're always budget conscious.
Yeah, definitely. The same thing with sometimes even with those prepackaged salads. I know those are all the rave. Sure, they're convenient, but sometimes if you just get the ingredients separately, you're going to save some money there and be healthy.
Yeah, learn. Use your knife skills. Learn a knife skill. Get a great knife and a great set of dishes. That's a great tool, a great tip also, too. If you have the cookware that's good, that's not going to stick on you, then you have a less likelihood of things to burn.
Yeah, what you said makes me think about there's a tool for every job.
Yes.
And just like if you're doing home improvement, you have to have the right tools or the project's not going to come out right. The same way in the kitchen. You have to have the right tools in the kitchen. Sure, it's an investment at first, but those tools, when you buy them, those utensils in the kitchen, they're going to last a long time. You're going to have those for years, probably be passing them down to the next generation.
Yeah, just like a suit is an investment also too, so is your utensils or your tools that you're using in the kitchen is an investment on your health. And also too, another tip that I have, take advantage of those cooking shows. Like you said, there is channels dedicated just to cooking. Now, I have a relative, and they hate the cooking shows because they can't visualize the food, or they said, well, I can't smell it. How do I know it tastes good? But once you learn what those ingredients are, once you know how those spices work together, then you can take advantage of the cooking shows and you can see that, hey, this can help me.
Definitely. And to those naysayers that are still on the fence after this discussion, thinking that cooking is going to take too much time, it really doesn't take that long. You can prepare some of the ingredients in advance and have them ready to go. And think about it like this. When you prepare the meal at home, you're saving money double because there's probably going to be leftovers that you could take to lunch at work the next day. Or if you don't mind eating the meal again the next day, sometimes when those seasonings kind of settle in overnight, it tastes a little bit better than the second day, if you ask me.
Yeah, sometimes when you let those seasoning marry themselves together, and then it brings an intense and deep richness to the meal. And speaking of marrying or your significant other, can you just imagine how happy they would be when you prepare a meal and they don't have to? When you're there and you help them out, it not only helps you out by being healthier, but this is the life of a gentleman. You're helping out your family and your life continue to become better.
Oh, man. Bonus points, anyone?
Bonus points. And it's as simple as learning how to grill also, too.
Oh, yeah. Don't get me started on grilling.
Oh, man. I love my grill. I love my smoker. You can just do so much with just that piece of equipment.
Yeah. You know what? It's funny. I'll be honest with the audience. Charles got me turned on to the smoker. And if you don't have a smoker in your life, you need to get one quick. There's a video I saw on YouTube after Charles told me about a smoker. He brought over some smoked chicken. It was amazing. I mean, mouthwatering chicken. You know, it's just chicken, but I'm going crazy. Like it's a five-star restaurant. But I watched this video, and this gentleman was doing a tutorial. He was an older gentleman, and he had a heavy accent, but it's something that me and a buddy of mine always say every time we break out the smoker now.
What's that?
At the end of that video, he pulled out those porterhouse steaks, and he said, God bless Master Bill. And that just cracked us up. But you know what? The food was so good. We just tipped our hat to him. I'm telling you, get a smoker in your life. It makes it easy.
It makes it easy. And the great thing about that you can do a large quantity of food. And here's another thing. If you make a big amount, just simply freeze some. Invest in some good freezer bags and you can freeze it, and it can stay up in your freezer up to 6 months or so if you wrap them properly.
Yeah, and like you said, a large amount of food, entertaining. When you have people over, you don't have to skimp. Yeah. I mean, you look like the host with the most when you got that smoker, because you can get a deal on some chicken quarters or some ribs, and you can load up that smoker. When you pull that meat out, people are thinking, man, who is this guy?
Oh, man, some salmon on the smoker. Whew. That's a great thing.
Hey, well, Charles, let me tell you, I'm getting hungry. You're going to have to give your last tip.
I have one more tip. Now, we have a tip for those picky eaters. I'm talking about our kids.
Uh-oh.
How can we help our kids to eat healthier? One way is to have your kids help prepare food for you with you in the kitchen. When they're doing that, then they see that they have their hands in the work of preparing it, so they're more apt to eat it. And then also, too, why not grow a garden together? When you're working together and you grow that garden, and they see that their own vegetables are growing, and they're achieving a size, and they come and they cut them, what are they more likely to do?
When they're involved, they're going to eat those vegetables now. And that's usually hard to do. But when they're involved, you don't have to twist any arms. They're curious little people, and they're going to go ahead and try it because they're part of it.
Yes. So your enthusiasm about cooking, just like my mom, enthusiasm and great cooking rubbed off upon me, I'm trying to instill that within my son. And in turn, he will become a master cooker. And then we're trying to instill it within our audience. So those who are leery, give it a chance and keep it simple.
Sounds good. As I mentioned just a second ago, I'm pretty hungry now after this discussion. Why don't we get in this interview, and after this, let's go grab a bite to eat.
Oh, definitely. Let's go.
And now it's time for this week's segment of The Gentleman's News. Exclusive interviews with exceptional people discussing all things gentleman, from business to fashion to lifestyle, industry leaders, authors, and more. This is The Gentleman's News.
Welcome back, everyone, to The Life of a Gentleman. And this week we have a special guest that's joining us on the line, Kumar Arora. He is an entrepreneur and the founder of Rogue Eyewear. They have some amazing designs, a beautiful craftsmanship. So if you're in the market for eyewear, you definitely have to check them out. Kumar, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me.
Now, Kumar, now, when did you start the Rogue Eyewear, and why did you start such a brand?
Well, my journey to creating Rogue Eyewear started very early on, actually. It's probably as early as high school, so about 15 years ago.
Wow.
But moving really fast, I've always wanted to do eyewear, but it was closer to my mid-20s when I decided to kind of, you know, go full force. And within the eyewear industry, not much was changing. You know, we were seeing the same designs, we were seeing the same price points. There wasn't a lot of unique activity or new innovations within the industry. So that's partly why I called it Rogue Eyewear, because I wanted to start something new and do things different and, you know, give the consumer a new viewpoint into our industry.
That makes perfect sense, how you developed that business model. What are some of the styles that you have? Are they for men and women?
Yeah, so I design for, you know, most of my styles are unisex. Some are, you know, lean more towards women, some are lean more toward men, but yeah, for the most part, it's unisex.
Now, how many styles do you have in general?
Right now, we're at about 16, but it will be dropped down to about 8 in the coming 2 months, right before holidays.
Okay, I see how that makes sense, too. I'm sure that's a busy season for you as well, probably, the holiday time?
Yeah, you know, holidays and summer are, you know, the two key points in the sunglass market.
Now, is there a particular style that suits a particular person? Just say I have a more oval face or a rounded face, or can you just give us a key insight on how to pair up the perfect eyewear for your type of face?
Oh yeah, that question comes up a lot. So, you know, different types of faces, you know, triangular, oval, circle, square, and there are certain glasses that are more complementary, not only on an aesthetic level, but also just for the protection of your eyes, because, you know, if you've got a smaller face, you don't necessarily need the biggest lens on it, you know? So you want to make sure that you look into the frame shape, then also like the lens coverage for your eyes. So, you know, an aviator is always a safe shape. The, you know, the standard Wayfarer is also a safe shape, but those are more geared towards, you know, square and circular, whereas, you know, more angular shapes like cat eyes might fit a triangular face.
Oh, great. Yeah, it's always so hard when you're picking out sunglasses that I find myself just trying one on and trying another one on. But with those tips that you mentioned there, things just got a little easier for everybody, I think.
Now, when it comes to your lenses, how important are the lenses when it comes to the eyewear? Or what makes your lenses stand out?
Well, you know, everything that we design and create, everything's polarized, and that's kind of an industry standard. I think that's really important. A lot of people don't understand the purpose of polarization, but it's really all about protecting your eyes and not having too much light come in. And that's, you know, really important, because in the end, while it's fun to wear sunglasses and it's a fashion thing, it's a fashion, you know, item, it's actually more of a medical device, because you have to have it function just as much as you wear it. So, you know, everything that we work with is polarized lenses. You get polycarbonate or CR39 lenses.
Okay, great. Oh, that's a good point that you made about it being more of a medical device, because it can't just look good. It's got to be functional too, right? How do you actually care for the sunglasses? And what I mean care for is you see a lot of people in their car putting them in cup holders or hanging them, they're dangling from their visors.
I see that.
What do you recommend?
Well, specifically in your car, you know, when you leave your sunglasses out, the biggest thing is that the heat that's generated inside will end up warping, you know, the shape of your glasses. It could even, you know, alter the coatings on the lens itself. So, you know, your vision could eventually become impaired because of it. So the big thing that you always want to do is make sure that you have like a nice case of some sort, and you always want to make sure you at least throw it in your glove box or something that's more closed in, that way it's not being affected by the sunlight. So, you know, it's all about kind of containing it somewhere else and keeping it in a safe place. I mean, if people are spending between $75 and $300, you know, you want to make sure that you don't break them or lose them that easily. And by leaving them out in the sun, or, you know, just throwing them into a cup holder, you know, you're not taking the best care for it. When I look at my glasses, it seems like almost like babies. You know, I want to make sure that they're clothed properly, and, you know, they've got their sunscreen on. And it's the same idea, you know, with your sunglasses.
Sure.
You got to clothe them properly with a case, and then you want to make sure they're placed in a safe place too.
Yeah, so even though they're sunglasses, they don't necessarily need to be out in the sun. That makes perfect sense, because then they can warp in all discoloration and different things like that. So that makes sense. Now, if I was purchasing my first pair of Rogue sunglasses, what experience would I have when I put them on? Or what should be the experience that I should have when I put on my first pair of Rogue sunglasses?
When I, in a sense, activate a customer, or a customer believes in my brand, the first thing I want them to remember is that this brand was created, in a sense, for them, because it has to go against the industry. So, you know, you don't see a sunglass company making glasses out of wood, rubber, stone, leather. You know, you name the material, chances are I've tried to make something out of it.
Yeah.
And that's a huge part. You know, when you put on those denim glasses, you're going to realize how soft they are, and you're going to realize, you know what, I don't have to buy glasses made of plastic all the time. Or you try on the stone and you're out there and you're talking to your friends, and they're going to be like, what kind of glasses are those? And you're like, yeah, they're made of stone. And they're going to remember that it's never been done before. And you're literally going rogue, not just with yourself, but the industry itself. You're part of the change that I'm trying to encourage.
Yeah, and I happen to have a couple pair of Rogue sunglasses. And I have to say, when I wear them, I've received nothing but compliments. In fact, I have one of the pair that's made out of wood. It's such a unique design, and it's so light. It's not heavy. When you hear wood, people think it's going to be heavy, but it's such a light design. So we have to give kudos to you there.
Thank you.
Oh, definitely. Before we close out with the interview, we wanted to kind of transition, because you mentioned you have another exciting project coming up where the listeners might actually get a chance to see you on television. Could you tell us just a little bit about that?
Yeah, so Rogue Eyewear is one of my more recent investments and ventures, but I'm actually a shark on a new CNBC show called Cleveland Hustles.
Wow.
And it's executive produced by LeBron James. And it's pretty, you know, an exciting time. It's Cleveland's kind of going through a renaissance. When we just won the finals, we just had, you know, the Republican National Convention in town, and this show kind of accumulates all these great things happening. And, you know, we're trying to revitalize the city and build businesses there, and tell people you can do things right in your backyard. And fortunate to be one of the investors on the show. And it's going to be airing August 24th, 7 p.m., 10 p.m. Pacific Standard Time.
Oh, wow. That sounds very exciting. And I've seen the commercials for that, and it looks very good. I'm definitely going to tune in for that show. Now, as an investor in one of those things, is there anything that you're looking for in particular, just for our listeners, just so they know, or they may even be inspired to maybe audition?
Into the show or into my portfolio?
Just in general, if a person is coming onto the show, is there anything to expect, or is there anything that you look for within your investment to add to your portfolio?
Well, as far as, you know, my investments, I've always kind of played it safe, where I invest in things I know the most about. But, you know, throughout my journey in the last, you know, year or so, I've been experimenting and making investments on not just a unique business I might not know anything about, but as well as a person who, you know, I've never done business with. So, you know, I encourage everybody, you know, if you've got a business idea and you want to, you know, make your dream happen, go for it, you know, and you're never really going to get that chance. And the longer you wait, the harder it gets, especially when everyone else can, you know, read about that same idea on the internet and try to create it themselves. So we're in a great place right now when anybody these days can not only just start a business, but they can just create a simple idea and create it overnight. So if you're out there trying to start a business, you know, go ahead and just do it. You know, you won't lose. You'll lose if you don't do it. I'll say that much.
Yeah, that's true. Nothing ventured, nothing gained, and you miss all the shots you don't take. You hear all those cliches. Right. What are some of the attributes you need as an entrepreneur? What are some of the attributes that stand out in your mind?
I mean, the first and foremost is that whatever industry you're in, whether it's medical or tech or fashion, I think that you need to have the core of your business down. You know, if you're in a tech industry, you can't be, you know, and you don't know programming or, you know, something specific to coding, it's going to be very difficult for you to run that kind of business. You know, when you talk about Mark Zuckerberg or Steve Jobs or some of these guys, like, they have a strong enough understanding of their core business, and then they learned all the other components. Same with fashion, you know, like, some of the strongest fashion brands are always led by a fashion designer first. That same designer then moves into marketing, branding, you know, and all the other components. So that's my big thing, that I like to invest in a specific business, but I want the core founder to know that specific, you know, industry really well.
Oh, we appreciate the advice, especially coming from an expert as yourself. And we have a lot of people that have ideas, and hopefully this inspires them to go ahead and try and get the ball rolling. Try to get things started.
Yes, and since this podcast is called The Life of a Gentleman, we like to ask a lot of our ones who we bring on just the question, what is your idea of a gentleman?
My idea of a gentleman is somebody who is considerate in every aspect. I don't think a gentleman's necessary about what you're wearing, but that's also part of it. But, you know, somebody who is considerate to, you know, his family, his friends, his coworkers, himself, his environment. I think that's what a gentleman's all about, is consideration.
Definitely. It's more than just style. It's more than just fashion. It's the whole well-rounded look. Kumar, we see that you really embody that with the way that you present your brand to the public. And also, before we go, we want to just wish you the best with your endeavor on the new CNBC television program we'll all be watching. But before we go, could you tell everyone where they can follow you on social media or learn more about Rogue Eyewear, or your website?
So Rogue Eyewear's website is just rogue-eyewear.com, and all the social media handles are just Rogue Eyewear, so pretty easy. As far as my personal brand and where I'm going throughout my journey, it's just my full name, Kumar, Kumar-Arora, Arora.com. And then all of my social media handles for that is just KAurora007.
Okay. Thank you very much for sharing that. And we really want to extend a warm thank you to you for coming on the podcast, The Life of a Gentleman, and sharing your knowledge about your brand and also encouraging those to get into entrepreneurship. Thanks for coming on.
Of course. Yep, thanks, guys.
Here's a brief word from our sponsor. This podcast has been brought to you by Harrison Blake Apparel. Visit them online for a great selection of neckties, pocket squares, and menswear accessories. Want to really step up your style? Join their monthly subscription club. For $25 per month, you'll receive one necktie plus four additional matching accessories. And now it's time for the segment we like to call The Gentleman's Look. A look into fashion, style, and accessories. This is The Gentleman's Look.
Welcome back once again to the Life of a Gentleman podcast. We are joined by one of our resident stylists. Once again, we have Barnett with us. Barnett, are you on the line?
Yeah, good to talk to you guys again.
Oh, man, it is great to talk to you, Barnett. Please excuse me if I call you DC Fashion Fool because, man, I just love your Instagram, or if I call you DC.
Not a problem.
Hey, what's the subject that you had in mind today that we're going to talk about?
I thought we'd kind of like talk about tuxedo.
Ooh,
they're,
tuxedo.
They're one of my favorite things, yeah.
Ooh, a tuxedo. That sounds a little too fancy for us, right?
Nah, tuxedos aren't too bad.
All right. Well, let's get into it. What are some of the things about a tuxedo? Well, first of all, why do you love a tuxedo so much?
I think that a tuxedo just makes a guy look so elegant. I think it's so formal. You know, it's pretty, the basic tux, it's black, you're wearing it against a white shirt, and I think you look dignified. I think what's important is, you know, I think for the ladies, they get to add the color and the flourish and all that stuff, and I just think that a tuxedo sets a great background.
Yeah, a tuxedo definitely does make a person look like a gentleman. How do you feel when you're wearing a tuxedo?
You know, one of the things I always think about is, like, you know how impressive, you know, James Bond feels like when he wears his tux. I kind of get that kind of feeling. You know what I mean? I'm ready for my martini, shaken, not stirred.
Right.
Double O Barnett. I can just see you now.
Yeah, fighting off bad guys and looking good while doing it.
And not breaking a sweat, too.
That's right.
Yeah. Now, is there anything that you have for us when we're purchasing a tuxedo? Or should a person own at least one tuxedo?
I think if you weigh what you're going to do, yes, I think it makes sense to own a tux. I mean, here in Washington, we have maybe a couple events that we go to maybe twice a year or three times a year. And so that makes sense to go ahead and buy a tux. I mean, if you think about what you're going to have to pay to rent one,
yes,
but you recoup your costs pretty quickly. If you're getting married, I think if you want that nice tux that you may potentially wear to some other events, yeah, I think you should go ahead and buy a tux. You know, you just have to watch your weight so it still fits.
Yeah, good tip there. We have to watch that. Now, the thing, you mentioned events, and when I hear tuxedo, that's what always comes to mind for me, like an awards gala or different kind of fundraisers. And a lot of times when you get an invitation to those events, they say black tie. Now, I don't want to get off subject, but when it says black tie, does that mean that's when you can pull out the tux, or could you even possibly go in a suit? I'm just, you know, clarify that for the audience.
Well, it depends. I think black tie, you should be black tie, but just formal, same thing. But, you know, I think that for some people, a tux is not feasible. So a black suit will work if you have to do that. You know, if you can dress it up with your shirt, with your tie or your bow tie, your shoes, you know, to make it look a little more formal. But, you know, if you can go tux, I say go tux.
Now, you talked about a tuxedo and a suit. Can you describe what the difference is between those two?
With a tuxedo, you're going to have, typically, the pants are going to have a satin stripe down the sides of them. Tux never should have belt loops because you're going to use suspenders instead. And you're going to have a cummerbund around the waist. You know, and those were originally supposed to be to catch your crumbs when you ate. But so you're going to see that. And then on the lapels of the blazer of the tuxedo, that's also typically satin or something, some type of material like that.
Wow. Now, that is some dynamite information, and especially about the cummerbund. And there's been times when all of us can attest to that we needed a cummerbund to catch those crumbs.
Now, is there anything else about a tux that you just love, or did you think that the audience would just some tips on either how to wear them or just anything else for the tux?
I have a couple tips. I think for me, I think the classic, you know, one or two button tux is what's key. I think that, you know, nowadays if you look, you're going to see tuxes in different colors, different patterns. But, you know, again, you're talking about it's trends. And if you're going to make the investment versus rent it, you want something that you're going to be able to wear for several years, as opposed to it's hot now, it's hot this season. You know, that velvet tux might look good now, but will it look good 5 years from now or 10 years from now? So that's one of the main things you should really think about.
Oh, definitely. So really, you want to invest in something that's classic, something timeless, rather than just hopping on the latest trend. That's something that we've talked about in past episodes. Not trying to be trendy so much, but be more practical, something that's going to last over the test of time.
Exactly. So, you know, a two button, you know, even if it's a shawl collar, which is a little more rounded, even those can be, you know,
pretty classic and last a good long time.
Now, here's what I see on, I guess, what not to do. Now, with the tux, can you wear a regular tie, or is a bow tie more important?
I think that depends on who you talk to. I prefer a bow tie, and I like to tie my own tie, so you'll see me in a tie, but that's not to say that I haven't worn a black tie in place before. I think it also depends on the event that you're going to.
Okay.
So you want to be kind of dressed for that.
Okay, that makes perfect sense there. A little bit of personal preference in there. Along those same lines, what about the shoes? I know when you rent a tuxedo, they kind of give you those shoes and
the shiny ones?
Yeah, they're shiny, but I'm not really a real fan of those. What's the alternative?
Well, if you don't want to do those, for me, a tux, you know, you can always get away with a nice black lace-up that's definitely polished and shined up, and a lot of times you can get away with those as well. I do like my patent leather, so
okay.
Now, when you said you could purchase a tux, would that also include the patent leather shoes?
You don't necessarily have to. If you want to stick with a good pair of black shoes, that's perfectly acceptable.
Okay, that makes sense. Now, what are some other things about tuxedos that are important for our listeners?
It's all the finishing touches are really important too. You know, for a pocket square, I like a nice solid white linen or cotton, I can't even say it. Blend nice pocket square to go in there. You want to make sure that if your shirt, most shirts have studs, so you're going to want to get some nice studs. I prefer black ones, but you may be able to add a little bling to them, you know, or like those knotted are favorites of mine, and they're going to match your cufflinks. But nowadays, a lot of the shirts have the hidden buttons, so you don't even really need to worry about that. So you can just kind of get away without it.
Yeah, those hidden button shirts are amazing. I know Charles is a big fan of those. He spoke about those on an episode where we talked about bow ties and how they look amazing with a bow tie. So pairing it with the tux also makes perfect sense.
Yeah, a lot of shirts, you're seeing them that way. So I think, you know, those two, and they don't have the pleats because, you know, some people don't like the pleated shirts anymore. You know, you sort of think back in the 70s when the shirts were all ruffled and stuff like that. You know, maybe the pleats are going that way. But, you know, a nice, crisp, clean shirt, it looks great.
Man, that sounds... I can just picture you now looking exceptional there, Barnett. So is there one final tip that you have for us when it comes to tuxedos?
I think if you have the opportunity to purchase a tux, I think it's a good deal. I think that the one nice thing these days is that they're coming through in a variety of price points. So you can get some as low as maybe a couple hundred dollars all the way up to, you know, thousands of dollars. But, you know, I think if the opportunity is there and you can swing it, add one to your closet.
Definitely. I think after hearing this, we see the practical reasoning of maybe putting that in the budget or putting it on your to-do list to purchase a tuxedo for the future. We appreciate these tips that you've given us and your time as well, joining us on The Life of a Gentleman. Before you go, could you please tell us your social media or your blog where people can go and follow you and get more information and tips like these?
Sure, I'd be glad to. You can follow me at the DC Fashion Fool. And I have a blog of the same name, or you can check me out also on Men's Life DC. Again, I have a blog of the same name. All social media platforms are the same.
Well, once again, we do thank you so much there, Barnett. We learned so much, and we definitely see that having a tuxedo in our closet not only makes sense, but it is a great investment if it's classic to stay the duration of time. So once again, we thank you for joining us.
Sure, and I'll be looking out to see you guys in your tuxes soon.
Sounds good. Take care.
All right, take care.
Well, gentlemen, that wraps up another episode of the Life of a Gentleman podcast. At the beginning, I hope you guys enjoyed the fun discussion that Charles and I had all about cooking. We know that the summer is coming to an end, but it's not too late to get out that barbecue grill or smoker or get in that kitchen and whip up a delicious home-cooked meal. There's nothing better than that. I think we all can agree. We also want to thank our special guest, Kumar, for coming on and telling us about many of his businesses, but in particular, Rogue Eyewear. I'm telling you, if you haven't tried Rogue Eyewear, you have to check them out. They have some unique, creative designs, and the sunglasses are really going to have you standing out from the crowd. Also, don't forget to tune in to CNBC, the show that is executive produced by LeBron James, where Kumar is actually featured on the show. He is an investor on the show. So tune in, check him out, check your local listings. I believe it's on Wednesdays at 10 p.m. on CNBC. That is the show Cleveland Hustles, where you can see Kumar on your television screen. Thanks to him for coming on, and we look forward to seeing what happens as the show develops week by week. Also, we want to send a special thanks to Barnett Holston, the DC Fashion Fool, for coming on once again and talking to us all about tuxedos. We learned a lot about tuxedos and got us thinking that perhaps we could put that on our to-do list or to-buy list to have one in our personal wardrobe for special occasions or outings or functions that we might be invited to. A very sound investment when you really think about it. Also, before we go, we'd like to send a special shout out to the producer of the show who does the editing for us. She does a wonderful job. Thank you, Deandra. Also, we'd like to thank Charles for being in studio. And we have some exciting news coming up in the future. We won't share it just yet, but Charles and I will be working on a special project, and we can't wait to talk about that a little bit more in the future. As always, if you'd like to get in touch with us, please drop us a line on our email inbox, podcast@harrisonblakeapparel.com. And we'd love to have you come on and talk about what you have going on in your life, because all of us are living this life of a gentleman. So let's talk about it. Let's share it together. We look forward to hearing from you. Until next time, gentlemen, take care.
These messages are brought to you by Harrison Blake Apparel, specializing in fashion accessories such as ties and lapel pins. Join the Harrison Blake Monthly Subscription Club. Each month, they deliver one necktie plus four additional matching accessories for only $25. This is the easy way to build or enhance your wardrobe. To learn more and subscribe, visit HarrisonBlakeApparel.com. These messages are also brought to you by Deandra Marie, a young, talented female host who conducts interviews, event coverage, and produces the Life of a Gentleman podcast. For inquiries on how to be featured, please visit www.itsdeandramarie.com.